welcome in. It's another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Jay Adams, DJ Shockley to my left. Dad's not here, so
we
can do whatever we want. Matt Moore's on vacation. Enjoy your time off, Matt. We got things from here. We've got a great show planned today. Just the two of us here.
Holding it down, baby.
Felt like singing that song. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
There we
just
go.
We could
do a whole episode of just karaoke.
That would be
the
cool.
Two of us, and nobody would watch it. So we are in the doldrums of summer right now, and we went to the ATL UTD Atlanta United name and logo launch
off the chain last night.
It was awesome. You were there.
Yes,
looking fantastic.
I was. In a place where
dressed
I said,
for the occasion,
I was thinking, hey, this is going to be a pretty big historical event. So I said, I have to make sure I look the part.
Look at you.
Ha!
You got your scarf.
That's my beautiful wife there.
And, you're looking great.
Brought out the brim last night, you know, keep the bucket on with my nice scarf.
And we can't see it here, but Bosek was telling me you had a heck of a pair of shoes as well.
Ah, Bosek, you saw that?
Yeah, I checked out your shoes.
Oh, man. I can't put. Well, you know, it was a historical event. It was 4,000 people there. I said, man, this is gonna be one of those nights where, hey, just can't just be in the building. You got to make sure, hey, you fit in. I had to make sure, hey, they invited me. I got to make sure I look like I belong here.
Right.
Not just some guy said, all right, you want to come in here? So. I had to make sure I looked decent. So
it's one thing when you're hanging with movers and shakers, but it's a different thing when you are a mover and shaker.
I'm hanging with movers and shakers.
No, you are one.
Yeah, you are one. I wasn't sitting with Luda and no stuff like Braxton sisters were in there and everything. So it was,
Well, we won't belabor that for too long because we know that a lot of American football fans don't necessarily embrace the European football.
I don't know much about soccer, but I guess you want to call it football. But hey,
I love it.
Looks exciting. Last night was pretty exciting.
It was great.
Made me want to watch.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. But because of the doldrums of summer right now, there's this terrible, terrible period of 5 weeks where there's really nothing going on. You know, those are the things that you kind of get to do. And so I really wanted to tap into your experience this week in particular about this period right now. Because the NFL year, the calendar year, is a season of a season in itself. I mean, there's all these different time periods that occur throughout the year. And this is one of the weird ones where there's just nothing going on. So you've got this period, and then you've got, like, right after the season for maybe about a month where you just kind of take things easy and rest up, and then you get back into training. What are you doing right now if you're a player? You've got 3 weeks till training camp, 2 weeks till training camp, whatever it is. What are you doing right now?
I think the most important thing is you're getting rest, but you're also staying in shape. You can't just sit around and not do anything. You got to do something to keep your body in shape, to keep your legs and your joints and everything fully going so that when you get back into training camp, it's not a shock to the body. I think a lot of guys probably work out maybe 3-4 times a week possibly, maybe not to the extent of what you do as far as in the off-season workouts, but you making sure that you're keeping your cardio up, make sure you're doing some agility drills, making sure if you're a receiver or you're QB, you're throwing, you're catching some routes, you're running some routes, you're having that same kind of getting a good sweat in, but you're doing some things to keep yourself active. As far as I think what the guys are doing now, I've been a part of when you have a new coaching staff come in and you have that off-season and then you have the off-season workouts. Now you go into this period right now, and a lot of guys still have to learn more about the playbook. I was up here yesterday, and Roddy was up here. Mm-hmm. He was getting the workout in. He was still trying to, you know, watch a little film. And a lot of guys are doing it. A lot of guys are still staying in the playbook because it's still a little bit new.
Sure.
You had OTAs. You had a couple mini camps. But there's nothing like a little bit extra so that you know exactly what you're getting into going into camp. So guys are working out. Guys are staying in shape, but they're also resting too because, as we know, the season is long.
Right.
And you got to have a little downtime and relaxation.
Right. Would it be fair to say that you've really got, in order to really get the most out of this period, you've got to strike a balance between, like you just said, the vacation, the taking the time with your family, the resting up with doing the cardio, doing all that stuff, but not so much to where you're potentially risking injury and those kinds of things. How hard is it to balance that when you're working out?
It's tough. It's definitely tough because as an athlete, we're kind of built one way. to go full throttle, to go 100%, to give everything you got. And if you don't, you feel like, I wasted my time. Yeah. And nobody wants to waste their time. So it's hard to balance out how hard you work out. And I think a lot of guys know exactly how much they can do to get a good sweat going, to get a good lather, to make sure, hey, they're feeling good and agile, where they won't have to push themselves all the way to the limit where they can afford, where they almost could hurt themselves. Last few weeks, I've been out playing golf with a couple guys. I just telling you about, I was playing golf with Babs today. And that's one thing that guys do. They play golf. Yeah. It's a sport that, you know, how it is outside now, it's hot and I don't know what. So you get a little lather, you still get to, you know, walk around, and you're not outside. I mean, you're outside, you're not just sitting down in your couch, and you're still competing, your body's still working, and it's a relaxation for some guys. So a lot of guys like to golf. Some guys like to go out of town and just sit on the beach and relax. That's good too. I mean, you got to be able to get away.
But when you're on the beach, and like you just said, you got a lot of guys here learning a brand new playbook. Do you have a copy of that playbook while you're sitting on the beach?
Oh, yeah. Well, you may not have a copy of the playbook. So what you do is throughout OTAs, throughout minicamp, you've had a folder. Mm-hmm. And you've done nothing but take notes.
Yeah.
You take notes. You write down the installs for each particular day. So now you go back and review all that. Because when you come into training camp, they're going to give you the exact same book that you had coming into OTAs and minicamp. And they're going to start from day one like you didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. So it's all about reviewing what you went over. And then once you get further in training camp, that's when they'll give you a little bit more. But right now, review everything you had, because they're not going to throw anything else new until they know you know exactly what they were doing in OTAs and minicamp. And that's what guys are doing now, reviewing that film, reviewing the notes, reviewing the installs. And that's the best thing they can do right now, is review all that stuff.
Would it not be a better scenario? Because you got to think about it. These guys, ever since the season ended, they're going through their off-season training.
Right.
Then they go through a couple of mini camps and OTAs and all that stuff. And then suddenly you're off and you're out of the building for 5 weeks, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You report to camp July 30th, and that coaching staff expects you to be as ready to go as you were, and actually be further along than you were when you left minicamp, when minicamp broke. How hard is it to get back? Those first few days of training camp when you're back on the field have to be a little bit tough on guys.
It is. I think for most guys, the toughest part is probably the first hour of that first practice.
Yeah.
Because each guy knows what it takes to be successful. Each guy knows what their goal is coming into camp. So most guys got to get a little bit acclimated to the speed of it. Mm-hmm. You understand what's going on, but you got to get acclimated to the speed of camp and having other guys flying around you. And like you said, it is a little different coming from you being out the middle for 5 weeks. Now you're throwing into, you know, up-paced, fast-paced camp and all that kind of stuff. You got to make sure you're mentally ready for it. Most guys will be physically ready because, like you said, you have all the off-season to work out. You have all time in the mini camp to get your body right, and then now you're relaxing, but you got to go into camp mentally prepared for it. And it's good that guys get away and kind of have a refresher and just kind of just think, turn football off for a little bit, because you have to. We talked about how long the season is. You get in training camp, it's wake up at 6 in the morning, you're going to sleep at 11 o'clock at night, and it's football from 6 to 11, and you wake up doing it all over again, and your mind gets tired. When your mind gets tired, your body gets tired, and that's one of the things that the guys really have to get used to, is the mental part of it, because you're not stressed as much as you are right now. Right. You know, I mean, when you're 5 weeks away, you're not as stressed as you are when you're in camp.
Right.
So you get used to it. The physical part of it, guys adapt to it. Everybody here is an athlete. Everybody's a professional. So everybody understands, when I come to camp, I got to be ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest part is mentally, all right, I got to get myself in the used to being in this grind, you know.
And that's exactly what it is. It sounds like a grind. It looks like a grind.
I mean, you guys go through it too. I mean, you guys are here just as much as the players. You guys are, you know, watching stuff that, you know, because you got to film, fool everybody else in on it. But you understand how tough it is for the guys and how tough it is for everybody to go through this process, especially of training camp.
Yeah, I'm just glad there's no running involved in what we do. So I want to talk a little bit about an article that we had on AtlantaFalcons.com this week, and that's our Andrew Hirsch talked to Brian Finneran recently at minicamp when he stopped by. And the conversation switched to talking about Roddy White and his growth and his progression as a football player. And you think about Roddy White today and what he's meant to the organization. All right, he's set records. He's broken records by the all-time greats who have played for this franchise. His name is going to be up in the Ring of Honor one day. Okay, this is a guy that's going to spend his entire career with a team, which is so rare in the age of free agency. Yet, his first couple of years in the league was not like that. Like, you never would have thought that about Roddy.
Yeah.
And so Finneran really got into, you know, some of those things and how he started out and where he is today. And you saw part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So from your angle, what is it that has sparked Roddy to be the guy and the player he is today?
You know what? I remember when I got here in 06, Roddy got here in 05, I believe it is, 05. So I came into Roddy's second year, and everything I heard about Roddy was he doesn't have good hands, he takes plays off, he drops a lot of passes. And then there was, okay, maybe it's because the way Mike throws the ball, Mike Vick, the way he throws the ball, it has that different left hand spin on it, and it comes out differently to a receiver. So that's the reason why. And when I got here and I got around Roddy and I began to know what type of player he is, the type of player he wanted to be, and then the type of guys he was around, we talked about Finn. Finn is a guy who will push you to the limit, especially at that position. And in the article, Finn talked about he knew his potential. He knew how good he can be, and he put some out there. I think in the article, he said something to Roddy to the fact of, I will bet you that you wouldn't make it, you know, a decade in the league. And that kind of was like the spark for him, and the next year he took off.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of guy Roddy is. Right. Roddy wants some motivation. He wants somebody to say he can't do something.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of been his mantra over the years is, all right, Roddy's getting older. He's starting to, you know, maybe lose a step. And that's when he says, okay, you think so? I'll come back and do something even better. Okay, I've had an injury. Maybe this is that old age, or maybe this is getting over. He had his time. Maybe it's time for him to move on. And each and every time, he's responded to the bell. And that's because he is that type of player. Inside, he's one of those guys who can get himself going. A lot of guys, it takes, all right, Jay, I need you to tell me something good. Coach, can you pat me on the back? Roddy doesn't need that. He just says, all right, I'm going to go out and do it, and he does it. Yeah. And he has that self-motivation in him and that self-discipline that allows him to be the type of player he is. And that's how great players are.
Yeah.
They don't need anybody else to tell them what they need to do. They go out and do it on their own. They find a way to do it. And half the battle is what he's doing now is being a smarter player with his body, smarter player watching film,
sure,
as he talked about in the article. And those are the huge steps that makes him into be one of the receivers or the best receiver that he is now.
And while, you know, his growth is a huge part of just his own maturation and all of that, he's been around some really great people who have guided him along the way in his career, Finn being one. Joe Horn is another guy that comes to mind. DJ Shockley is another that comes to mind. But Terry Rubisky has played a crucial part in his career. When you have good people around you, and we hear it all the time, you know, from Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn about the importance of the locker room and having good people around you. How does that ultimately help your progression as an individual player?
I think the best thing a top player or any player can have is somebody who can believe in them. And in that receiver room, the receiver coach, from the top to the bottom, they all believe in what Roddy can do. And for a guy of his stature to have people around him that believes in him, it works wonders for a guy of his caliber. And also, he's in a room where everybody knows he is, you know, one of the best receivers, but nobody acts like, you know, they're on it. You know, if he runs the wrong route, he doesn't get to the right depth, they let him know about it. And that's one of the things that makes a good player even better is he's held to a higher standard. They don't just let him get away with it because he is Roddy White.
Right.
That's the biggest part of it. These guys in the room, Rubisky, everybody in there, his receivers, they hold him to that standard of, okay, you're one of the best, so we're going to hold you to being one of the best in the league. And also one of the bigger things that is kind of lost in the shuffle is competition makes him better.
Sure.
You go and get Julio, and you go all the way up and go get him and say, hey, we need another big-time receiver. You bring him in, and everybody's like, oh, who's this new guy? This guy is crazy. I remember when Julio first got here, he's breaking tackles, catching five-yard routes, starting to go to the house, and people saying, all right, that's the difference between him and Roddy. And I believe a couple games later, Roddy starts doing the same thing.
Right.
And I think that's part of it is, all right, I got some competition, and the day competition makes him better.
But I think also, that, you know, in same hand in hand, the situation with Julio is you bring in a guy and you point to Roddy White and you say, okay, you see this guy? You're going to be responsible for bringing him along because he's our future.
Yeah.
That has a way of putting you into a leadership role that maybe you weren't expecting.
Yeah. When I look at that type of development, I look at it as, okay, mentally he says, somebody believes that I can be good enough to teach somebody else to be great. Mm. And for Roddy, that's a huge, huge credit to him is we want him to be as good or better than you because of what you've done already. So we know what you can do, and we know how you can build up other guys around you, and we know he'll listen to you. And to have that kind of respect, not just from the coaching staff, but from a younger guy that comes in that says, all right, I just got drafted way up high, top 10, but I'm willing to listen to you because you've already done it.
Right.
That speaks volumes.
Right.
And I think Roddy understands that, and he understands his role on this team is also be the playmaker, but also to bring along these guys, to bring along the Eric Williams, to bring along the, you know, when Harry was here, to bring along the younger guys to make them say, all right, I'm one of the top receivers here, but I also need you as well.
Sure.
And this is how we are going to get better. And I think he's done a great job of that.
Now, I want to lift the veil here on these two guys that we're talking about. So you've been in locker rooms with both of these guys. I've been around them, so I feel like I know a little bit about their personalities. Brian Finneran, let's start off with him.
Whoa.
He is...
Whoa. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm like, wait a minute.
No.
Brian Finneran is a fan favorite. Fans love him. They've always loved him, and for good reason. He's just a great guy, great human being. Was always good in front of the camera and things like that, and obviously that's translated into his radio career right now. The thing about Brian Finneran that I will say is you always know where you stand with him.
he is as honest
as they come, and he will tell you, if you are screwing up, he will tell you you're screwing up. And there's got to be a ton of value to having a guy like that in the locker room who's not afraid to go to you and say, you know what, I don't like the way you did that, or I don't like the way you're carrying yourself.
And the thing about, like you just mentioned, he's the most honest guy because he's been around, and you can respect a guy like Finn. Mm-hmm. You can respect the things that he's done, and also you respect the things that he will say to you. I remember early in my career, we were out throwing, and we were throwing different routes and all this kind of stuff, and I threw one to him. He came back to me and said, what was the purpose of you throwing it to me that hard? He was like, dude, I'm 7 yards away from you. What are you doing? And then I looked at him and was like, yeah, you're right. I probably didn't have to throw that hard. You know, anybody else, I'd have been like, dude, just catch the ball. And
you know, I did that to Bosek a couple of weeks ago on Aw Snap as he was sitting right there and I'm 4 feet away.
Rocketed it to him.
Whipped a paper ball at me. I imagine it was the same exact scenario.
Yeah. I mean, he could just put stuff in a different light that you say, okay, you're right. I was wrong for that. And Finn, if you ever met him, he's probably one of the most sarcastic guys you ever met, too.
For sure.
But that's part of who Finn is. That's part of his humor. That's part of his honesty is, you know, sometimes he's going to tell you straight how it is and look at you like, all right, what you going to say now? But he's a great guy. He's a great guy to follow. He's a great dad. He's a great friend. He's a great teammate. And he's one of the guys that if you didn't have him on your team, you wish you did have him on your team.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that that I do on social media is I'll put something out that I'm like, kind of like, oh, I'm not so sure that this, I wonder how it's going to go. I always look to see what Finneran's reaction is going to be because he'll tweet about it.
He'll let you know.
And he'll let you know when it's not good.
Yeah. Dude, what are you doing? What are you talking about? For real? What's that about?
So the other guy I want to talk about here, obviously, in this equation is Roddy White. And everybody knows Roddy for his on-field persona and all those different things. And maybe you see him in interviews and things of that nature. And you see he's got a bit of a personality. When the cameras are away and the recorders are away, the way I describe Roddy White is that he's unlike any other person I think I've ever met.
Yeah.
His personality is just completely different in that, and the best way I can describe it, he's a big kid just having a lot of fun. And I think that leads to him kind of on Twitter being misunderstood and things like that. But that attitude of, I'm playing a kid's game, and I'm making money doing it, and I'm having a great time, and just embracing that, I think, can go a really long way towards making a great player, does it not?
And that's the biggest part you said is embracing it. That's the one thing that I thought about when you talk about Roddy is he understands where he stands right now. Mm-hmm. He looks at his surroundings. He looked at his opportunity where he came from, first, second, third year, whatever it was, and people tell him he wasn't good, he was a bust and all this kind of stuff, to be where he's at now. And to see him without any cameras, to see him in a locker room sitting there laughing all the time. I mean, you could hear him laughing from, you know, a mile away.
He has a distinctive laugh. Everybody talked about Michael Turner's laugh being distinctive, and it was. But yeah, Roddy's is right up there.
And that's the fun part about Roddy. Is he's a guy that you want to be around. He's a great teammate as well. I mean, a lot of guys. I mean, he can hang out with the linemen. He can hang out with, you know, defensive backs. He's good friends with the D linemen. I mean, everybody likes Roddy because of that personality you talk about. And he's a guy that you want to be around. He's a guy you want on your team, especially when you're playing, because he's going to give you 110% every single time. Not going to back down from anybody. Nobody. Doesn't care who they are, what size they are. He's not going to back down. And he's going to try to be on that field every single time. Yeah. And then off the field, he's going to come to your kid's party. He's going to have a good time, you know, with your family. Yeah. He's going to joke and laugh. That's the type of guy he is. And it's sad that he gets kind of misunderstood on Twitter sometimes, because people don't understand Roddy all the time.
Sure,
of course, Roddy can, you know, say some things sometimes. He'd be like, all right, Roddy, but he's a good dude.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that was good. That was, I think it's always great to hear the impressions of some of our alumni on some of our current players, because there's so many different parallels, and yet the game is changed so much since a lot of these guys have played as well. So, all right, we're going to go over to the break with Bosek here. And how you doing, Brian?
Great. How are you guys?
What's up, Bo?
Good. BB. Good to see you.
This story is very intriguing to me. I didn't know this about Roddy White. So I'm wondering if there's any other players that have this kind of similar story, that their rookie season, they started out, you didn't think they were going to be anything special, and then they turned out to be great.
Big monsters.
White. Yeah.
That's a very good question.
You know what? One guy that I think about, I don't know his true background story, but I just look at where he started and where he is now, is Randall Cobb. I think when Randall Cobb first got in the league, you know, people was like, all right, he came from Kentucky. He was kind of a quarterback. He was a receiver. What's he going to do? Is he going to be able to make it in the slot? And then he blew up last year. And he's got a big deal this year. I think his career is starting to take off at that receiver position. He's kind of solidified itself. So when I look at it early in his career, I don't think anybody would say Randall Cobb is a one or two. And he's a guy we got a game plan for.
Right.
But now I think you look at him and say, all right, we got to make sure we know where he's at, you know, along with, you know, Jordy Nelson and all that. But he's definitely the second or third guy that you say, all right, if I see him, I got to make sure we cover him.
Right. Right. I got to go all the way back to the time when I was a Bills fan, and I've got to say Andre Reed for this, because, you know, it's so rare when you got a guy from, like, Kutztown State who ends
where he's at?
That's where he went to college. And, wow. Or it's Kutztown, I think. Maybe not.
Where's that at?
But I think it's in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And, you know, I don't know that you come when you go from a college like that, that you have great expectations your rookie year, but it took him a little while to kind of get his footing in the league. And obviously, I mean, what he accomplished is just off the charts. He's in Canton, for crying out loud. But just to see that transformation of, and you see it a lot with some of these guys who went to small schools, they don't feel like they're in that mindset of like, I can't make it because
Shippensburg.
Right.
Brent Grimes, Shippensburg.
Great example. Another great
came
example.
In with me.
Yeah.
He said, I went to Shippensburg. I said, where?
Where? Yeah.
Where is that? Say that again.
Yeah.
And you look at him, he's walking around, shoes untied, acting like he, you know, doesn't care about anything. I mean, he used to get fined and act like it wasn't nothing.
Right.
But one of the most athletic guys, you see him covering all type of receivers, got all kind of athleticism. He's one of those guys who's taking off, Bo.
Yeah, for sure. Great. But Roddy definitely fits that mold, of course.
Awesome stuff. Thank you for answering that.
Oh, you're welcome. Any answers. No doubt, what else man. Can we answer
That's
for
good
you?
Stuff, right? That's a good question right
I got
there.
Another very serious question.
Uh-oh.
The Atlanta United Soccer Club or Football Club, they just launched their team, and they picked any name they wanted to. So I'm wondering, if you could create any team in any league, what would your team name be called?
Man. This one's tough because... And this is going to be a really unpopular opinion.
Oh, he's trying to lay the groundwork, people. So be careful. Here it comes.
I like the non-traditional kind of names. When you talk about, like, your football teams, right? And you know, you got the Cowboys and all this other stuff. I want to see like the Terminators or like, you know, like XFL kind of stuff. And I know I'm getting looks in this room. I'm already.
I've got one for you then.
This is the same as the hot dog sandwich conversation right now.
My team would be the Shockers.
There you go. Hey.
Shockers.
That's the best one.
Shockers and the symbol would be the big S with like a lightning bolt through it. That'll catch your eye. That'll catch your eye.
That'll definitely catch your eye.
That seems like more like Arena League or something, but yeah. You said any league.
Any league.
Yeah.
I like your creativity, Jay.
I don't know. I think
my high school's in College Park, so we're going to call them the College Park Shockers.
Oh, man. You think we could get that? We could start that campaign. We could get a petition going. What is the College Park?
What's in
the
it?
Mascot? No, the College Park mascot.
Oh, my high school was called North Clayton.
Oh, North Clayton. Oh, okay.
But it's in College Park. We're talking about an area, so I'm trying to get the area some love.
Oh, so the whole area would be.
Trying to get the area some love, you know what I mean? Like, it's Flowery Branch, so it'd be Flowery Branch, you know, Falcons, so you get some love.
What about
the
University of Georgia Shockers? No?
That works, too. We could change that. Bulldogs works good, too, but Shockers is,
might get some resistance to that one. All right, what about you, Bo? You got a name?
I got one.
Uh-oh, what you got, Bo?
Mighty Melonheads.
What?
Are you familiar with that CD-ROM game, Backyard Baseball?
Mighty.
They create names and they pair up names.
But I just want to. The guy on the couch and you gave me the most disgusted looks when I said my name. Terminators.
That is very creative.
And you come out of the game with that.
Mighty Melonheads.
Melonheads.
So it's a big melon.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of the melon heads, though. I'm not afraid of melon heads.
He made me a Mighty Melonhead. Sure.
Get on the couch. Right. What you got? You got one? No?
Nothing. He doesn't say anything.
Oh, Silent Bob over there.
Silent Bob over there. That's right.
All right. Want to see this great video?
Yeah, yeah. Video of the week time. Yeah. Let's see what this is.
You might have seen it.
Oh, I did see this. This is
I'm not sure if I've seen it, though.
Okay, so we got the tarp here. Rain delay. Big storm coming in.
Keep an eye on the guy on the tarp.
Yeah, guy on the tarp. No, all the guys are having trouble. There they
go. Oh, no.
And
he's getting swept away.
Where'd he go?
He's scared to death right now.
Oh. He was trying to get off. And then, oh, it's like a big wave coming.
Yeah, really
it's like you're in the ocean and you don't see this giant breaker.
But dude, look how scary that might be, though.
It would be really scary. There. Because.
Boom. Oof. And then he rolls another 5 yards.
McCutcheon's like, oh, wait, that was awesome, but I need to go help this guy.
Right. I'm glad he's in a hurry.
There we go. All right. Do we help him? Yeah. Because the thing is, if you get wrapped up in there you could probably suffocate.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, man, that's rough right there.
He walks away, though, so.
That's good.
It was safe to share.
I'd have been scared to death, dude.
I'd be a little
claustrophobic in there or something, man.
Tarp stuff's not for me.
Hey, man.
Scary stuff.
You got to pick up the pace next time, big guy.
Yeah, he's got to run fast.
My man's got this.
You almost see the guy on the left.
The guy on the far left, just you could see he was losing it. It was gone. And there it goes.
The ump jumped right to it, though, man. The ump was
He was on it.
One more.
Right. He was almost there, though.
And then, look, it's like being in the ocean.
And then he gets swallowed up.
It's a wave you don't want to catch right there.
Oh,
that was good stuff, Bosek.
Shot Bo, man. I like that, man. Glad he walked away, though.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, he lost his hat in it, but he walked away.
He could get another hat, right?
Yeah. Well, this 2.5-man show has been pretty good, I think. You know, I think we did all right without
Pops,
Matt.
We did all right, I'm telling you.
We did. I think he'd be proud of us. And we'll have another one next week because he won't be here next week either. So.
Sad stuff.
Rough. We'll have to come up with something else. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Falcon Cast. For DJ Shockley, I'm Jay Adams. We will see you next week.